To be able to do this repeatedly over and over and over and over again with no fail whatsoever every single time, I'm like, that's some serious skill. And he goes, you know, he says to the class, he goes, how many of you guys have taken a vehicle class? And everyone's like, how many of you guys have done shooting on the move? And we're all like, cover concealment, close quarter, and we're all raising our hands. And he goes, if you're not hitting your target every single time when you press that trigger, you are wasting time, money, and ammunition taking any other class other than a class that is going to help you shoot better.
Welcome to the Green Ops Podcast. My name is Luke. I am your host and an instructor with Green Ops. I am joined today by Josh from Green Ops. Say hello, Josh.
Hello, fellas.
Perfect. And tonight we have on Ben DeWalt of On-Site Firearms Training. Long story short, basically, he is going to be coming to Culpeper, Virginia later this year. Excuse me. Yep. And he is going to be, we are going to be hosting him. So we wanted to get him on, talk about his story, how he got into the firearms world, talk about the classes that he has, also the one that we are hosting him. But before we get started, make sure you like, subscribe, share, send to a friend. Make sure we keep growing the podcast. So how are you doing this evening, Ben?
Not bad, man. How are you guys doing?
Man, we're hanging in there. Absolutely. Awesome. So thanks so much for coming on. Let's just hop right into it.
Sure.
You have taken classes from Green Ops. I have taken classes not from you, but Mutual, where we were both students in classes. And now we're getting ready to host you later this year.
About first fucking time.
Hey, man, better late than never, right? So I guess let's talk about On-Site and how you got started into the firearms world, firearms trading, all of that cool stuff.
So I was born in Western Pennsylvania, outside of Pittsburgh. And it's kind of like, as soon as you can walk, talk, and hold your arms up, they put some sort of rifle in your arms. Got like 6, 7 years old. Started shooting BB guns and always had a love of firearms. I was big into all the old cowboy movies and Rin Tin Tin, which also started my love for dogs, probably. But, you know, I was the kid in fifth grade who, you know, would stop at the convenience store on the way to school and pick up a copy of Guns and Ammo or Soldier of Fortune, just really into that, you know. But always loved firearms, and then just kept sticking with it, kept shooting. Somewhere in the mid 90s, you know, started shooting pistol. Would go out to the Poconos, different ranges, and you know, where you can rent guns, and we would shoot pistols, rifles, etc. Just always had a love of it. Grew up doing martial arts as well, so the whole defensive end of things is really where I was more interested, more centered. Didn't really get into competition. Never hunted a day in my life. My buddy Derek from Northeast Shooters took me duck hunting once, and all we did was walk around the woods around this lake with shotguns looking for ducks. And I was like, this is duck hunting?
Pretty much. But that is duck hunting.
Yeah, I guess it was. And he's like, well, if we shoot any, we got to go in the water and get them. And I'm like, bro, it's November. It ain't happening. But around 2003-ish, I got really heavily into it. Dipped out of it for a while, high school. And then after high school, started working in the music industry. So while I was still into it, it wasn't a main focus. Around, you know, 2002, 2003, got heavily back into the interest of it. 2005, got that NRA certification to be a pistol instructor, and I knew everything. 2006, 2007, 2008, was teaching all the NRA classes and private lessons. 2008-ish somewhere, 2009-ish, took my first class up at SIG Academy. And said, wow, this is really awesome. I want to do these group classes. I want to teach people. Somewhere also later in 2009, took my first Steve Fisher class. Realized that I probably should shoot a lot better. there's a big text podcast that I just did like a year ago, and they're like, oh, how was that Fisher class? And I was like, well, that's where I had my ass handed to me. That's where I understood finally what it meant to be an instructor, what it meant to be a shooter. And when I was posed with the question from Steve that day, you're an instructor? I said, yeah, man. He goes, you shoot like a fucking student. And I went, wow. And I remember leaving that class just thinking to myself, you know, I gotta get better. I gotta do better. I gotta be better. I gotta be, you know, way past this shit. And that next day was, I would say, the start of my shooting career. Because it's that day after that class with Steve that I kind of went, wow, there was that self-realization. And just took as many classes with as many different instructors as I could. Rachel and I probably took 75 classes, not days, classes, up at SIG Academy because it was so close. And then we started hitting everybody else. The ShivWorks guys, Chris Fry, Dave Harrington, just everybody. It's all on our website. You can see that list. And we were taking classes, teaching classes, taking classes, teaching classes. And I'm a firm believer that the best instructors are still constant students. The minute that you think that because you're an instructor, you don't need to take any more classes is the minute that you and your students now suffer from your self-imposed glass ceiling that you have set for yourself.
Yeah. So how many hours? I know that you train an awful lot, not just you, as a student, you train a lot. How many hours are you getting in a year, you think, training?
I lost count. Like, I'll take at least one class a month, sometimes three classes a month, like depending on the time of year. If I've got like somebody that we're hosting, then I'll end up taking more. But like, take for example, last July, Chuck Pressburg and I were on the road together for 3.5 weeks. I did no fail pistol like 7 times in 3 weeks. And that's a 2-day class. So do the math on that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when we're hosting Steve, we'll host Steve like Connecticut, Pittsburgh, New York, or like Virginia, New York, whatever combination of dates. I'll end up taking, you know, hosting somebody, but I'll be in the class and I'll go like 6 days in a row of training with somebody. If I'm not teaching, then I want to be in a class on the other side of the line learning.
Sure.
And I think that's how we have to do this.
It's quite impressive to be able to take that much training. Obviously, you're well connected within the industry. You know, all of these guys, you're talking Steve Fisher, you're talking Jared Reston, you're talking Chuck Pressburg, all of them know you. You know all of them. That's quite a high praise. Yeah. My question, I know that I met you through Josh, but you met Josh, I believe, was it at SHOT Show where you guys first met? And he beat you out like a dodgeball tournament or something?
He beat me at dodgeball?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it went, right?
Was that the SHOT Show where the guy tried to steal my $600 Katanica jacket and I pulled the knife on him in the middle of the party?
I wasn't there for that. I told Luke to remind you when I beat you in dodgeball, although I distinctly remember you just
drilling. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Somehow I don't remember that.
I was just kidding. You definitely kicked my ass in dodgeball.
You know what I do remember? I remember pulling my groin muscle, throwing a ball at you. That was a dodgeball, not another ball. Yeah. An actual dodgeball.
Throwing a ball at me, you pulled your groin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like you won, Josh.
I think we met the year before, either in a shotgun class or at SHOT Show, because I knew you at that SHOT Show.
I don't remember the first time I met you in person, to be honest. I think I might have met Rachel first at a Modern Samurai Project class in Virginia.
Yes. I met a dude, one of the guys from Spotter Up, I met at SHOT Show. And then I think that's how you ended up in that shotgun class down by Richmond.
Yeah. I took your shotgun class, your 2-day shotgun class in 2018. Yeah. And, It was outstanding. It was phenomenal.
It was a fun time. I like that one. It was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, which is important. But yeah. I think that's, it was somewhere around 2018 that we linked up.
And so he had mentioned, Josh mentioned, and you as well, that it was during a shotgun class. You obviously offer pistol, rifle, shotgun. Can you talk about some of the classes that you offer? And then maybe we'll go into the exact class that we're hosting you for.
Sure. So we do, obviously, the mainstays, pistol, shotgun, rifle. I've got 20-something years of martial arts, so we do a lot of hand-to-hand, knife and stick. We've got a sister company called On-Site Medical Training that does that pre-hospital trauma care, whether that's gunshots, stab wounds, compound fractures, blood loss, shock, whatever. And then all of these classes also have their peripherals. So we've got our basic, like, sort of defensive pistol class, and then we've got our close quarter pistol, cover concealment, shooting on the move pistol, accuracy and accountability, single hand pistol, and then we get into rifle, low light pistol. Then we get into rifle and shotgun, and we've got variations of all those classes for rifle and shotgun as well. The class that we are doing September 1st with you guys is the pistol accuracy and accountability class, which is probably my favorite class. That's the one that I really dig. My heart and soul are really into that class.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Give me like the syllabus or the synopsis of what that class is, and maybe even to include like what that class isn't.
Yeah. So what that class isn't, right off the bat, let's get it out of the way. It's not a running and gun class. It's not a tactical class. It's not fantasy band camp. It's you, your pistol, a shitload of ammunition. You can run it from a belt. You can run it from concealed. It's not the focus of the class where the gun is coming from. The focus of the class is what we are doing with the gun, guaranteeing ourselves really solid hits on target. And this class had come up because we were doing a lot of defensive work. We were doing a lot of the shooting on the move and close quarter and cover concealment stuff and all the shit that brings all the boys to the yard. And we were seeing a lack of really solid accuracy from people. And we were, inundated with terms like combat accuracy, right? As long as it does the job. Well, what if I want to hit 10 rounds into an X ring at 25 yards? Like, why can't I learn how to do that too? So as we were discussing before we got on the podcast, this class really digs in deep to the sort of diagnostic end of things, the fine tuning, like getting into the weeds where the details are. I grew up shooting. And when I started shooting pistol, mid-90s, we didn't have access to the awesome cadre of instructors that we have, Brokos, Fisher, Reston, all these guys. Like mid-90s, when you're just getting into this with pistol, you're going to your local club, you're going to the local range, and you're asking the RSO or the local NRA instructor for help. And these are guys that are like in their 70s. They look like they can't make it up a flight of stairs without their, NRA hat and a red shirt, a red vest. And I'm like, hey, can you show me some defensive work? I'm like, this math isn't working. So what we got back then was, yeah, I'll show you how to shoot. All right, line up those sights, put that front post in the center of that rear notch, line up your sights, put them on a target, squeeze your trigger. And when we miss and shots go someplace else other than where we had started with the sights, you're just anticipating the shot. I mean, how many times when you guys first started shooting did whoever taught you say you're anticipating?
All the time.
If you are taking a class with an instructor and they are saying that you are anticipating the shot, pack up your shit, try to get your money back if you can, and go home. You're anticipating the shot. Okay, well, what's that mean? Well, you're anticipating. Okay, how do I not anticipate? How do I stop doing that? Oh, well, it should be a slow, steady trigger squeeze with a surprise break at the end. Okay, what's that mean? Well, that way you're not anticipating. I don't know what that means. Explain it to me. Give me some detail. Explain to me what I'm doing. And what I found was guys that could not answer your questions like that, there was a reason for it, because they either had no idea what you were doing, or they had no idea what they were doing. But they used these sort of generic quotes and catch-all phrases to justify the instructor logo down their sleeve, or justify the paycheck that they're getting for the day. And I got to a point where I'm like, this isn't a good enough answer for me. I need to have full details on why I'm doing what I'm doing. So when we discussed also earlier, if you're holding your pistol on target and you're looking at your gun, how much of your gun can you actually see?
Just the back of it.
Yeah,
maybe the rear sight, front sight, maybe.
Back plate sights, maybe your optic and your optic window and optic window frame. That's it. So anything that's happening when you press that trigger, you can't really see it. And if you see any of the ads on the internet for a lot of the generic bargain basement instructor companies, it's usually some guy with his hand on a woman's shoulder, looking over her shoulder, and she's like this. And it says, you know, learn how to shoot, blah, 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 whatever. What is he seeing? If you can only see your back plate and your optic and maybe your sights, and dude is standing behind you, he's probably seeing considerably less. So he can't tell what's going on with your fingers. He can't tell what's going on with the trigger. He's not seeing if you're clenching or squeezing as you're pressing the trigger. So we try to get in onto the sides. We incorporate, like, next 2 days I'm doing an instructor class for some LE up in Connecticut. I'm going to show them what to look for and where to look for it at on the grip, finger work, etc. on their shooters, right? We got to be better instructors. And if a student says, hey, how come I keep doing this? I need to have an answer. I need to be able to answer you. Because if I can't answer you, well, why the fuck am I doing this shit? So that's where the accuracy and accountability class kind of came in, was to really get deep into the weeds on the technical end of pistol shooting. And then the accountability end of it was like, well, why do we need to shoot this well? What is the reason why, if I carry a gun, I have to be able to deliver a perfect shot every single time the gun comes out of the holster? And we get into sort of drills that work both accuracy, they work our shot accountability, basically tightest groups from the furthest distance in the shortest amount of time is what we're looking for. Kind of like Chuck's no-fail pistol, right? You can't afford to miss. You can't afford to flub a shot. You can't afford to go, oh, the hostage is okay, she'll live. It's just not acceptable. If you are someone who is carrying a gun, either for a living, personal defense, self-defense, or defense of the people that you care about, you have to be a better shooter. So that class is a slower paced class. It's a more in-depth than like your typical run and gun kind of handgun class.
So along those lines, so obviously we're going to be in that class. Hopefully we're going to have a bunch of our students that are going to be in that class as well. It sounds phenomenal. It's going to be a great time. You had said like accountability, and what do you expect out of students? Like, maybe if you're teaching somebody, do you expect them to be able to shoot a 100 B8 at 25 yards, or do you have like kind of a minimum standard that you expect students to be at by the end of that class?
So I would like to see some skill progression from like 9 o'clock to like 5 o'clock. I want to see skill progression. I want to see, if not dramatic skill progression, if I see a little bit of progression, but a better understanding, better comprehension. I think that is a huge win, because 6, 7, 8 hour period of time isn't going to take a low intermediate shooter to like a USPSA grandmaster.
Sure.
It's not going to happen. But if I can show you the things that you can work on, and I can show you how to practice them so that when you leave, you have a better idea of what to do when you go to the range, then that's a huge win, right? It's usually tiny little tweaks. There's, you know, I say this in every class, and anyone who's taken this class with us has probably heard it a freaking million times. There are three things that will help our shooting, and there's three things that we are either not taught in a way that we can understand it as people, because everybody learns differently, or we're fully aware of these things, but the minute the live round goes into the magazine, mag goes into the gun chamber, that first round, and we're like, yeah, we're gonna shoot, that enthusiasm, that sort of adrenaline, we kind of forget everything. And that's how to grip the gun. And that includes how to grip it, where to grip it, when to grip it, and why. How to press our trigger. And that includes where to put the finger on the trigger, because everybody's hand's different. Everybody's gun's different. Everybody's got different mobility issues, hand issues, whatever. And how to apply pressure, when and where to apply pressure on that trigger. And then finally, there's those things on the top of your gun that come with every gun when you buy them, your sights. Are we using them? Are we able to read them? Are we willing to see and understand the information that our sights are giving us? Or are we just pressing the trigger when the gun's pointed in the general direction of the target?
Sure.
Like, no lie, this past weekend, I was back in Virginia, down in Yale, had a 2-day rifle pistol class. And at one point, I just stopped the class and I said, I was looking at targets and I said, all right, guys, how many of you can, I said, raise your hand. How many of you can tell me honestly, each and every single time you press the trigger, you confirmed your sights were exactly where you wanted them to be? And everyone was like, like, hands down, hands in pockets, like, don't look at me, don't look at me, don't look at me. And I was like, all right, how many of you guys can honestly say you took a shot when your sights were either not where you wanted them to be, but you pressed the trigger anyway, or you didn't even see your sights and you pressed the shot? And everyone's like, yeah, that was me. And I'm like, hey, guess what? It was me too. You know, as an instructor or teacher, coach, mentor, whatever you want to label it as, the other thing that I like to teach people is the biggest, most important learning point or point of learning in progression is freaking failure. It's okay to fail when we're trying something new or we're trying to learn something. Right. How many times have you missed the shot?
Twice.
Twice. in every set of four that you fired, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So for years when I first started, if I missed a shot or if I was like perfectly lined up, cool, I'm there, press the trigger, ugh, son of a bitch. I would carry that shit with me. And I would be angry and I'd be like pissed off for the rest of the day. I can't believe that. Rah, 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 rah. And that's a lot of weight. That's a lot of luggage, baggage to carry around with you. And I took a class from an instructor. If you guys ever heard of Chris Fry, phenomenal dude. He's part of the ShivWorks collection with Craig and Paul and everyone, Cecil. We're hosting him one day in New York and over at one of our ranges. And he's blasting away doing this demo for us about what we're about to do. And one of his shots goes, whoop, and he just kind of misses, not by much, just a little bit. And he goes, ah, fuck it. Do it again. And I was like, he missed the, he doesn't give a shit. He was like, I'll just do it again. And I was like, holy shit, it's okay to miss when you're practicing. It's okay to miss when you're training. It's okay to miss. It's okay to not do as well as your friggin' ego tells you you should do when you're trying to progress with skill levels. And I was like, damn, that is a revelation. So I flub a shot. I go, who cares? Do it again. If I don't get the perfect target on my 10 from 10 at 10 into a B8, guess what I do? Spray glue, put another target, do it again. And one of the things that as instructors, teachers, coaches, mentors, whatever, that we could really, really like teach people is, hey, if you're practicing, you're going to fail. When you fail, you just do it again. Figure out why you failed. Figure out why you got what you got. And now you can fix it. And now you can do it better.
So I think it was Todd Jarrett that used to always say, if you're not missing or failing in practice, you're not getting any better.
Yeah, you're playing it safe.
Yeah. And so while you're practicing, you need to be pushing it. And last weekend, I was teaching a red dot course, and there was a couple students that were very much playing it safe. And I was like, hey, man, we need to start, you know, we need to ratchet this up a little bit. We need to make you better. You're not here to show me that you can shoot. You're here to get better. So let's start getting a little bit better. Don't just stay in your comfort zone.
You got to find your limits in order to push past them. And you got to know where they are for when you really need those skills, right? I'm capable of this, but not that, for instance, right?
Yeah, I was down at Shooter Symposium. And day two, I took Steve's class, and we're shooting at about, you know, 10, 15 yards, get back to 25. We're shooting a little bit at 25. Then we go back up to 10, 15. And I think I was still shooting at the pace that I shot at 25 when we were at like 10. And I had this nice little rat hole, you know, half dollar size group in the target. And we get done shooting, and Steve's walking down the targets, and he just looks at me and he goes, shoot faster. Fucking walks away, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't want to shoot faster, because if I shoot faster, my target's going to look like I should probably shoot faster. You know, like, where am I going to go? You get comfortable, and your ego says, man, your target looks awesome. Keep doing that. But then that's all you're ever going to do.
It feels good, but yeah, you have to, you can't get faster, for instance, or whatever it is you're trying to get, until you actually try to shoot faster. Like, sometimes the answer I give people is like, look, just start pulling the trigger faster and you're going to start learning things, you know?
It's just paper.
You have to do it at some point in practice.
Yeah. With practice and training, you're just putting holes in paper. That's it. And I tell people, understand what you can do here and understand that failure is allowed here. Because out there, when you're off range and that gun comes out of that holster, you need to know what you're capable of doing in the time frame given. And there is no option for failure out there. But that's why, like I tell people, dude, you fucked up the shot. You flubbed the shot. Big deal. Do it again. Yeah. Leave it at that. Don't like my, you know, one of my guys this past weekend, we were doing some pistol work, part of the rifle pistol class. And he's like, man, once I started missing, I just kept missing. He's like, I couldn't like pull myself out of that fucking hole. And I'm like, yeah, because you were probably pissed off. You missed the shot, the one shot. And on the second shot, you were thinking about how you missed the one shot and so on and so on. And I said, and by the time you got to shot 10, you were completely disgusted with yourself. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly what it was. And I was like, let that shit go. You flubbed that shot. You fucked that one shot. Brush that shit off. Do it again better. Like, stop carrying that around with you.
Yeah, the mental aspect of performance on demand is really interesting, right? Just focus on the process. Push everything else away. Focus on the process. Yep. Stop worrying about the shit.
This is a visual, physical, and mental, and sometimes emotional hobby that we have chosen.
Well, it's funny that we will, like in some of our classes, we'll teach some stuff and then we'll do like a friendly competition. And I always say, hey, that's one of our pillars is get out and compete, make yourself uncomfortable. And so I will say, or the instructors will say, hey, we're going to compete on this next drill, whatever it is, and you're going to get a prize. And it probably is going to be a 25-cent sticker. And you can instantly watch people fall apart because now in their head, it matters that much more.
Or the green ops patch.
See, it could. It's not even that. Not even the patch. It's just the sticker I'm giving away, and they've done hyped it up in their head. And to watch, like Josh was talking about, like the mental aspect of it, and watch some people just kind of degrade. We've entered
it's the ego. It's 100% ego. Even if you're not an egotistical person, your ego rears up in those situations and it says, dude, I have to do good. I have to look good. Dude, I have to perform. And you get all these nerves and anxiety all of a sudden.
That rifle class that I came down and did with you guys. Yes, I got the patch. However, I could have shot that a hell of a lot better if it wasn't for the patch. As soon as Chris was like, all right, guys, this is for the patch. I'm like, whoa, yeah, I'm doing this shit. And it was like, it was a good 75% of what I could have done if I was just like, yeah, we're just going to shoot.
Right. I'm Ben DeWalt. I got to show up right now and perform.
And otherwise, my brain said, shoot fast, go fast, get good hits, shoot fast, go fast, instead of like,
that's hey, too man, much.
Slow down by an eighth to a quarter of a second and get way better hits. And, you know, it's kind of like, do I want to live at 75% or do I want to live at like 100% and just dial it back an eighth of an eighth of an eighth to a quarter of a second? It's really all I probably needed. But
the,
no.
the mental aspect of competition was the hardest and the last thing that I learned for sure. And I'm still a work in progress always.
Yeah. How long have you been doing competition?
My first match ever was a USPSA match at Fredericksburg Rod and Gun Club in 2015. I'll never forget it. I actually have a video from one of the stages. It's fantastic. It's so awesomely cringy. You'll love it.
I love the dudes that were always like, oh, that shit will get you killed in the streets. And it's like, I remember the first match that I shot, like the first real match.
People still say that.
I know. And it's like, you know, it didn't get me killed in the streets. And what it actually did was got me to sort of comprehend moving, shooting, multiple target engagement, target discrimination, shoot, no shoot scenarios, reloads on the move. Like, it actually really helped the defensive end of things. And yeah, I think like true. The defensive shooters that look at the competition shooters and go, ah, that shit will get you killed in the streets. And the competition shooters that look at the defensive shooters and go, you tactical nerds. I think there should be a lot more of a crossover there because you can benefit from both disciplines, both styles. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think it's kind of silly. I do kind of like the idea that if I ever have to shoot somebody with my carry gun, I will just put two in their chest and then unload and show clear without thinking about it. That kind of cracked me up.
So I took, there was some buddies of mine had gone to this weekly night out in Pennsylvania. And they were like, oh, you should come out one night. You know, we do some cool drills and stuff. And I was like, all right, man, I'll take the drive out. Sign me up. Tell whoever's running it that I'll be there. You know, I said, don't tell them anything about it. I don't want anybody to fucking, you know. Well, they did. They told them who I was and this shit. So the guy immediately showed up. And like when I showed up, the guy immediately, like his hackles were up, you know. He was like, chest out, like, oh, so you're so-and-so. I'm like, yeah, man, how you doing? My name's Ben. I just, you know, want to shoot, see what you got going on. And he's like, you got a hot gun on you, man? And we're in the range. And I'm like, yeah, man, I got my carry gun on me. It's hot. And he goes, well, let's go in the classroom and unload your gun. And I go, why don't we do it downrange towards the berm? He goes, well, we're going to go in a classroom because I want to make sure you know how to draw from the holster. And I'm like, do I have to take my dick out and show you that it's not as big as a bird? No. So we go in the classroom, pointing the gun at a plywood friggin' sheetrock wall. I draw my pistol out. I remove the magazine. I lock the slide to the rear. I rack it again, lock it to the rear. I visually inspect it. I stick my pinky in. I show it to him. He looks at it. He looks away. He looks at it again. And he goes, okay, slide forward, press the trigger. And I go, no. And he goes, "What do you mean?" And I go, "I'll put the slide forward, but I'm not pressing the trigger." And he goes, "Why not?" And I go, "Because it's fucking stupid." And he goes, "You got to make sure the gun's empty." And I go, "I just checked it. I stuck my pinky in. You checked it. You looked away. You checked it again. You watched me send the slide forward." I said, "If for some reason, when I press this trigger, the gun goes bang, that's some fucking serious magic shit going on." I go, "Because you and I both just confirmed there's nothing in the gun." And I said, "And if there was something in the gun, where's my gun pointed right now? It's pointed at a sheetrock wall. That round is going to go through the wall and probably travel through the rest of the store." And he's looking at me and he's like, "Well, fine, just holster up then." I'm sitting there like, what was the point of that whole fucking thing? Like, what was that all about? Like,
just to exert his authority. Respect my authority.
It could be that, or he is so ingrained in that slide forward, press trigger, or slide forward, hammer down, that he's forgetting the environment.
Comment. Yeah, I've seen it before where people have only ever been around live firearms in specific environments, and they think every time there's guns around, it needs to follow the exact same rules as that environment, like competition environment. We kind of had that this weekend, actually. And yeah, it's a little weird. You know, it's like there's a big world out there of people with guns that don't always involve the match environment. Like,
yeah,
so no, stop it. Shut up.
Sometimes it makes no sense. But like some of the things that I see, some of the things that I hear people do, and I'm like,
we know. That's why I like to mess with you.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I like to ask you dumb questions.
I know.
We hear all the same ones.
I'm still trying to figure out if you were going to help me load my magazines before Steve's class.
we had a good time. We enjoyed your pre-class email for sure. That was very good. I liked it. You've clearly been doing this for a very long time.
We still to this day get like we had a woman show up for a defensive pistol class. And she came over, introduced herself. She filled out, you know, handed us the waiver. And I was like, "Oh, hey, how you doing? What gun are you running today?" And she's like, "Oh, I got my Glock 19. And I was like, "Oh, cool. What holster are you running?" And she goes, "Well, I don't have a holster." I go, why don't you have a holster? She goes, "Well, I don't carry, so what do I need a holster for?" And I'm like, "Did you read the equipment list on the website?" And she's like, "Yeah, but you know, I don't carry, so what do I need a holster in a class for?" And I'm like, "What are you gonna do with your gun in between drills? Like, but I'm like really confused." And she's like, "Well, I don't carry, so." And I was like, "All right, have a good day. Thanks for stopping by." And just basically was like, "Forget it. Like, I can't have you in the class." I could have lent her a holster, but where's her level of commitment? Where is her level of comprehension? You know, like, are you going to be the boat anchor for the whole day? Like, you're the filing cabinet across the concrete floor for the entire class for 8 hours? Like, ugh.
If
and enough- if you get it, you're like, "Oh, is ammo included?" And I'm like, "I'm going to kick you in the nuts."
Are you providing ammo and lunch? Yeah, that was good.
Yeah,
and yes, at the same time.
And what about tracers?
Yeah, tracers are good, right?
Well, you guys missed it this past weekend. We did provide lunch. We had a whole pile of burgers and sausage and hot dogs and sweet and sour Italian sauce. It was crazy. The guys that were in the class this weekend got like this free lunch buffet. It was awesome.
Well, if nothing else, everybody needs to sign up for a class just to get your welcome email.
Yeah, right.
I agree. But people, the problem is a lot of people won't read it anyways. So what's the point?
Your time is everybody else's time.
A couple things, the accuracy and accountability, the reason you started that class sounds very familiar, right? That's kind of the same reason we started our pistol fundamentals class, because we know we run these defensive classes. I think you went through the rifle one. And, you know, we start with some fundamentals, some warm-ups, some basics, right? We try and build from there, and it rapidly progresses up to timed drills, like defensive-oriented drills, you know, multiple shots, multiple targets, you know, put stress on people, right? Perform these skills on demand under a little pressure. And we're seeing like, okay, exactly. Did you have any sense of the sights or where they were or what was doing? Or your gun does have sights, you realize that, right? So yeah, we started the fundamentals class just for that reason. Like, hey, this class is going to be a lot more mellow. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're just going to learn how to shoot the gun really, really well, basically. So that there's definitely a need for that kind of thing. And those classes, I agree, they're some of our most fun to teach and most popular classes, right? It's really interesting.
So there's a dude, this dude out there, Bob Keller, Gamut Resolutions. If you have not taken a class with him, he is phenomenal. We're hosting him in Sugarloaf, which is right by the Poconos, in June. And we're also hosting him up in Connecticut. He runs the Gamut Challenge as well, which is like tactical games. About 5 years ago, he had a class at a buddy of mine's range down in Jersey, and it just happened to fall during the week, like a Tuesday, Wednesday. And I was like, son of a bitch, I have no classes planned. Let me get in touch with this thing. So went to his website and it said advanced tactical rifle and pistol, prerequisites, military, law enforcement, or you've taken Gamut Resolutions intro to tactical rifle and pistol. And I was like, son of a bitch, I don't fit in any of those categories. So I sent him an email and I was like, hi, this is who I am. This is who I've trained with. This is what I do. I don't want to disrespect you and just sign up for this class sight unseen. I said, do you think that I can, would you mind if I signed up for this class? And he just wrote back, see you there. So I was like, well, shit. Okay, I'm in. Boom, sign up. And as I'm sure you guys are aware of this, like class says to be there at 8:30. I'm there at 7:30. Like, hey, what can I help you with? And he's like, oh, let's put up targets. So we're putting up targets and, you know, sticks, backers, et cetera. And he hands me this sheet with these 3-inch dots, just dot, 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 dot. And I'm like, oh, cool. What are we doing with these? Oh, we're going to shoot them with rifle and pistol. And I'm like, oh, wow, cool. At what yardage? And he's like, well, pistol at 7 yards and rifle at 10 yards. And I kind of go, wow, sounds pretty advanced. And I had my doubts until the first couple shots. And I'm sitting here, you know, low ready position. And he gives the up command and you fire one round, boom. Come back down. He gives an up command, boom. And here's that 3-inch dot. And my first shot was like here. And second shot was here. And third shot was here. And then I was like, son of a bitch. It's 10 yards with a rifle. And then throughout the day, obviously, the early morning jitters, the cold shots, all that stuff kind of wore off and things got a little bit better. But, you know, watching everybody else on the line, like, I wasn't the only one struggling with doing this repeatedly all day. And doing it with pistol, same thing. Like, pistol was a little bit better because that's mainly what I work. But, you know, looking around the line, I'm like, wow, I'm not the only one having issues with this. And it's like, can you hit a 3-inch dot from 10 yards with rifle and 7 yards with pistol perfectly every single time all day? Yes or no? What do you think?
That's a tough skill. That's not a gimme at all. Definitely not.
And it's easy. It's so easy to underestimate it. It's so easy to say, oh, this is nothing. I can do this all day. No, your arms get tired, your finger gets funky, your finger gets tired. And
if you had to do it once, that's easy. Sure. Doing it repeatedly, consistently, every time, that's really hard.
But are you consistent in your skill, or are you just good for a little bit, or are you just lucky for a little bit? So we're on a break, and I'm like, Bob, this is wild, man. Like when you first told me this morning, I thought this was going to be some simple shit and I was going to be like, whatever, man, I'm bored. I was like, to be able to do this repeatedly over and over and over and over again with no fail whatsoever every single time, I'm like, that's some serious skill. And he goes, you know, he says to the class, he goes, how many of you guys have taken a vehicle class? And everyone's like, how many of you guys have done shooting on the move? And we're all like, cover concealment, close quarter. And we're all raising our hands. And he goes, if you're not hitting your target every single time when you press that trigger, you are wasting time, money, and ammunition taking any other class other than a class that is going to help you shoot better. And I thought back to like my very first vehicle class where I'm laying under a car on my back with my pistol. And there's a piece of steel 15 yards away, and I'm like, miss, 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 ding, ding, miss, ding, miss, ding. And I thought about, yeah, holy shit, no one is impressed when you miss. And now, like the next vehicle class that I took, there I was again laying under a car, and it was just ding, 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 because now I have a better idea of what I should be doing with my shooting. I shouldn't just be running and gunning and having fun because all that stuff's great. It's cool. I love doing it. But if you're not hitting your target exactly where you want to hit your target every single time you press the trigger, you need to go back and figure out what it is that you need to work on to make that shit happen. And that class with him was like, again, another mind-blowing concept that, like, holy shit, wow, imagine that. Imagine hitting your target every single time. And
Oh,
I told
yeah.
him that, hey man, you know, I'm stealing this fucking exercise from you. And
And
he's like,
that's,
oh.
yeah, that's the definition of advanced shooting right there. Hitting your target every time. That's it.
And
Pretty
that's and
much.
Chuck would tell me too. Chuck was like, yeah, when Chuck was at the group that he was previously at, which apparently you're not allowed to say the name, at any point, day or night, they would find you and say, wake up. We're going to the range. You need to qual right now. Or, hey, what are you doing? I'm about to leave to go on, you know, my 3-day leave or whatever. Oh yeah, before you go, grab your gear, meet me at the range. You need to qual. And Chuck said basically, if you did not pass the qual, you're off the team. And they'll pull you anytime, 24/7, 365, no matter what you're doing. And on demand, you need to pass the qual or you're off the team. And
Yeah,
like
the guys from that unit are by far the best shooters I've met in the military, definitely.
But
Sure.
that should also apply to the civilian concealed carry person because you don't get a warning, you don't get notice like, hey man, just want to let you know in about 2 hours from now, you're going to be involved in a self-defense situation at the gas pump at the local BP. So you better get your warm-up reps in. You know, we don't get that. We get, holy shit, this guy's coming at me. Like or holy shit, that guy is about to pull a gun out from his underneath his jacket. What do I do? Right? You don't have the opportunity to miss. You need every single time a gun comes out, you need to be able to hit your target. And that's really where like my training and my practice and my teaching has been geared lately.
So
So
one of the questions I have written down, I think you've this kind of answered it, but is that what you feel that most students actually need?
yes.
They need to work on the ability to hit what it is that they're aiming at on demand right now.
And that is two hands, single hand, support hand, flashlight, cell phone, holding back your loved ones, your kid, your wife, whoever it is behind you, doing it while moving, doing it in the dark, doing it upstairs, down a flight of stairs, whatever it is. Like, we got to be good at all this shit. You guys all read Varg Fribourne's Violence of Mind? Like
Oh, I read.
phenomenal book. And he asks in that book, like, who are you with the gun? When you put that gun on every day, what's your mission? My mission is to avoid conflict, go home, and be there for the people that rely on me. Right. So that's also what we go over as well, is like, dude, don't put yourself into places, you know. But if you're gonna carry a gun, there's five things that you have to be able to do. You have to be able to shoot, move, communicate, clear malfunctions, and get that gun back up and running if it's either a malfunction or a reload. And we go over a lot of that as well. But shooting is definitely the number one, right? If you can't move, you can't get out of where you're at, you need to be able to fight. And if you're not effective, then, you know, you're going to be a statistic.
Awesome. And you're going to be able to learn that if you take the class, the accuracy and accountability class with us here at Culpeper September 1st, when Ben and his crew will be there teaching it for us in this area. How do people find that class? How do people sign up not only for that class, but your other classes and all your social medias, all that stuff?
Everything can be found on our website, www.offtllc.us. So on-site firearms training, offtllc.us. I believe onsitefirearmstraining.com is still another option. It's just a lot more typing. but there's links to our social media on there. There's links to other training companies that we recommend. There's links to different retailers and products. And there's a lot of discount codes on there that you guys can kind of hook up if you go to our website and you're interested in something from like Night Fishing or Big Tech's Ordnance or something. There's a lot of different discount codes that we offer to our students. There's also a contact form. You know, if you have questions, comments, whatever, reach out to us. We'll answer you as best as we can. If I don't know the answer, I will do my best to find the answer. If I can't find the answer, you know, I don't know, I might bullshit you because you don't know the answer either. We do our best to give everybody a quick, timely response.
Awesome. And all of that will be down below in the show notes. So you're welcome to go down there, click on it, and go straight to Ben's site. Josh, how do people find you?
You can find me at Instagram, Green Ops Yoshi. You can always just email the Green Ops Slug from the website, and that'll reach me eventually if you want to chat. But Green Ops Yoshi on Instagram. Before we go, I just had a quick story about Ben, and I wanted to give on-site another shout out. Ben and Rachel are super amazing professionals. They've been doing this for far, far longer than I have, and they're just true professionals, like super impressive shooters, super impressive instructors. I highly recommend anywhere in the Northeast that they're running classes, you seek them out for sure. At the shotgun class in 2018, Ben, one of his students brought him, before the class started, a 1911. And he said, "Ben, I'm having some issues or I need to tune this up." Ben took the 1911, put it on top of a barrel, pulled out a tray of tools, and he detail stripped that 1911 into all like 150 tiny pieces and springs that comprises a 1911. He took it apart, pulled out some files, and started filing. Like he was like, he like filed something like three times and then put the whole thing back together. And he's like, "There you go. Perfect." And I was like, super impressed. Like, holy smokes. This dude is a true practitioner. Boomer. And yeah, a boomer.
I'm a Gen Xer. So
thank you. Me too.
I appreciate the kind words. We're just really passionate about this. We're really passionate about this as a hobby, as a lifestyle, as a business. And I was saying over the weekend, like, we take this very seriously, but at the same time, it's got to be fun, right? My job, I have to have fun doing my job. I can't be miserable at it. I don't want to be, you know, pissed off because I have to work today. Like, I get pissed off, I got to wake up in the morning. But as soon as my feet hit the floor, I'm like, man, I cannot wait. I cannot wait to go to work today. This is going to be so much fun. And that's the important thing, is to just really enjoy what you do. You know, instead of going to work, maybe making 10 times the amount of money that you'd make, but you're miserable, some miserable stockbroker somewhere. Well, just enjoy life, man.
And if you're having fun as an instructor, the students inherently have fun. And when the students are having fun, they're more apt to learn. because they're not thinking about how miserable it is and this sucks. I don't even want to be here. They're having a good time. They're taking in more information.
Instructor, yeah, he's boring. He's you know, bragging about stuff, and I haven't seen him demo one thing yet. You know, I've been in those classes, and those guys will never get my money or my time ever again, which is the more important of those two. Your time is a commodity you can never get back, so don't waste it.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks so much for coming on. If you want to follow me, I am Green Ops Luke on Instagram. We also have Green Ops Inc. on Instagram, Green Ops Podcast on Instagram, so give all those a follow. Also, check out our schedule. Green-ops.com is our website. Most likely, we will start adding Ben's class to our schedule. You will not be able to sign up directly there, but you can go there, click a link, and it'll ship you directly to Ben's site where you can sign up for that class. I'm getting pumped. I'm ready. I wish that class was happening this weekend right now, because I am pumped to get into that class and shoot a lot of rounds at really small targets and just put round on top of round on top of round. So Ben, again, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate your time. I'm excited. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited for September. Everybody get out there and train. Learn how to shoot the gun. Learn how to hit what the heck you're actually aiming at. So Mom, love you. Everybody else, kind of like you. And hopefully we'll see you soon out on the range.